So we're going to talk about the discerning of spirits. This is going to be an interesting process because it's just not one sermon. I'm going to lay a bit of a foundation this morning, and then we're going to go into a whole bunch of different areas over the next few weeks. Because this is where we get into the spiritual warfare stuff and being able to understand that. And then what do you do in the spiritual warfare stuff? Casting out demons and dealing with curses and all that kind of stuff. We're gonna talk about it because we need to be people who understand this piece of spiritual warfare in our lives. So let's just kind of review here. We find it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 7 to 11. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." We want to see the power of the Holy Spirit so each one of us is encouraged, but also that God is glorified. "To one there is given the spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same spirit, to another faith by the same spirit." Remember we talked about that, it's kind of the adrenaline faith. It's the one where you just need that extra burst and to lift up the car, you know, that you don't have that strength yourself, but God has that strength through his Holy Spirit in your life. "And to another the gifts of healing," the gifts of healing by that same spirit, "and to another miracles, miraculous powers." Pastor Dan, where are you? Pastor Dan and Tara and Carter. Why don't you come up here? Let's come on. We got to see this baby. Look at this dude. And the reason I'm having them come up is he is holding a miracle. Isn't it? Come on right up here so everybody can see. Yeah, he's a fussy little miracle, and these guys haven't slept for how many months?
Oh, boy. 8 weeks today.
8 weeks, hallelujah. Look at this. This is a miracle. You are a miracle, my friend. Oh, my goodness. You're beautiful. Oh, yeah, look at that, eh? Hey, dude. Isn't that great to hold a miracle? All right, well, I know you didn't. I think this is wonderful. Right here on this platform, Pastor Dan had talked about what God was doing in Dan and Tara's life, and then there just a miracle took place. So he's going to preach. That's just a preview for he's going to preach on miracles.
Yeah.
All right? Thank you. So miracles happen. Where was I here? Oh, yeah, and then prophecy, we're going to talk about that again. To another, the distinguishing of spirits or the discerning of spirits. Distinguishing, those words are the same in the Greek. To another, the speaking in different kinds of tongues and still another interpretation of those tongues. So those would be interesting areas too because, you know, Pentecostals are tongue talkers and sometimes we just get hung up on that. That's all we do, hallelujah, speak in tongues. You know, that's it. And, you know, that's the badge. And it's not the badge. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit in your life, in all the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. But we'll talk about that later. And so in verse 11 it says, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." You don't go pick them. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 12, 14 to 16. It says, "The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Interesting statement. Paul goes on to say, "The one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him?" And then he says, "But we have the mind of Christ." You ever thought about that? That you have your own thinker. You have that part of you, and it has lots of wisdom and knowledge and facts and experience and history and all that kind of stuff. But when you are born again, when you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you now have the mind of Christ. Isn't that great? How many of you Google every day, once at least once? How many? Put your hands up. How many Google stuff to find out information? Most of you. This is better than Google. Starts with a G. It's God. God is inside you. You just don't even need a keyboard. It's wireless. You just say, Lord, what do you want in this situation? Lord, show me what you need to do through me in this situation. Lord, I trust you. Show me. Tell me. Speak to me. And that's been going on long before Microsoft, long before Google, long before we had all this going on. And I love it. If I need to find out how to fix something in my car or something in that, like if the toaster's broken, I go toaster broken. And there it is, a little video. Your toaster is this, it's got two slices in it, and and if it's broken, if that's broken, this is how you fix it. It just tells you where to get the parts. Jesus is even better than that. You got to remember that. You got to go to him for your decisions. Because you can spiritually, when you're born again, and this is really important. You need to have Christ in your life. Or you just try to make all these decisions on your own. Or there's other voices that will tell you, and they're not the Lord. They'll tell you all sorts of things. So we have the mind of Christ. Discerning 101. It's not really that complicated. In Romans 10, 9 to 13, it says, but what does it say? The unbeliever, back here, it says, the unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So the unbeliever, the person that doesn't know Jesus Christ, the pre-Christian, we have all sorts of terms for them. The person that doesn't have never said, Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior, is an unbeliever. There's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus the Son. There's no other way. There is no other way. It's a real narrow path. There is no other way. It's only Jesus Christ. And so the unbeliever, the person who hasn't accepted Christ and has their sins forgiven. So Romans 10, 9 and verse 13, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It's even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's as simple as that, but powerful. For with the heart one believes and thus has righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses and thus has salvation. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. Oh, shame is huge in our world. Shame is huge, and yet in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? So there's no condemnation, so there's no shame. Instead of your shame, he says in Isaiah 61, he says, instead of your shame, you'll get a double portion. Instead of your humiliation, you will inherit a double portion. There's a shame base that we live in, many of us. And Christ has come to wrap us with the robes of righteousness and the garments of salvation so that we don't walk in shame anymore. He is not ashamed of you. You should not be ashamed of him, and you should walk in the fullness of life. Goes on to say, for there is no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, who richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I love it. So there's no, if your name's Caruso, you're not going to get in. If you're tall, you're not going to get in. If you're Italian, you're not going to get in. If you're Filipino, you're not going to get in. It's nothing like that. Jesus said everyone. There's no distinction, male, female, Jew, Greek, whatever, Gentile, whatever. It's all the same. Because as we already said, and was beautifully said this morning all in worship, because he loves you. He loves you. He loves all of us. Isn't he creative? Look around. None of us are the same. which is probably a good thing, right? I mean, look at, he's taken two eyes, two ears, one nose, and one mouth, and just, you can have like facial recognition at an airport or somewhere like where there's high security because your face is so different. Isn't that crazy? You got fingerprints, thumbprints that are different than anybody else's in the world because you're unique and special and he loves you. And he's got salvation for each one of us. So the unbeliever, the things of the Spirit are foolishness. The message of the cross, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. Man, I was reading this and I was thinking, before I got saved, how foolish this whole gospel message was. Foolish to go to church and give your money? Whoa. Like they want 10%. They just want, that's, and they'll punch it every Sunday morning, man. We need that money. We need that money. We need that money. God won't bless you unless you give. Let me tell you something, church. This church here, we have never done that I can remember since I've been here. And God has blessed this church. Because of your faithfulness, you don't give to me. My brother said one time, he says, that's a pretty good job you got. You got a bunch of guys collect all the money, bring in big plates and put it, and you get to, I said, yeah, I just get to sort through the big stuff and take that home. And like, it's not like that. God is not broke. Remember that one of the evangelists that said, if I don't get $8 million, God's going to take me home. I just said, goodbye. I hope you go to the right home. That's manipulation. God short of $8 million? It was American money. I know that's a lot more, but still, like, that's so foolish. That's so manipulative. God does not need money. He wants to teach you a principle that if you give, he will give to you, and you will never be short in finances. You might be short in stature still, but you know what I mean. It's foolishness. My brother was saved way before I was, and this is terrible. I used to borrow his car, and he had gospel music in there. My other brother and I, we'd just be driving along and think, plug this in, and it was all gospel hymns and stuff. We just thought they were stupid. So we just wing that cassette player. Actually, it's 8 tracks. They wing further. And you wing that out in the bush, and we laughed and thought it was crazy. Now, that's all sacred music. I remember sitting around a campfire drinking beer, singing, I Saw the Light, with Larry Shortfingers on the guitar. And we had no idea what I Saw the Light means. On the wings of a snow white dove. We didn't know what a dove was. We were drinking and we sang. Those were our favorite songs. And then I got saved and it was like, well, on the wings of a snow white dove. Well, you know, I understand the words now. And I understand the power. And so we're singing all those words when we're gooned, you know? God has a way of working in your life. But, you know, to somebody who doesn't know Jesus, it's foolishness. But to you and I, it's the power. We talked about power lots here, and we'll continue to talk about power because the power of God lives inside of you. And this whole area of discerning of spirits comes from that same power. The unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. There are billions of cell signals, radio signals, that are all, like, they're all around us now. And so they kind of high-frequency stuff comes in, and there's all sorts of different types of signals that come through, and you have to have a receiver for those. And some of you have your receiver on, and you're pretending to use your Bible, and actually you're online. I know, because I do it myself. You're reading your emails or whatever. But you have this receiver. I have a receiver in here. I have a receiver in here that I can download anything I want. I can play music. I can do all that. This is what we're talking about. is that there's a frequency called God. And if you're spiritual, if you're an unbeliever, you're not going to connect in with the God of the Holy Spirit. You can connect in with a bunch of other gods, but they're not the Holy Spirit God. And you're equipped to do that because we're born in sin. And we have that equipment, but we need to have the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we can discern what God is speaking to us about. And the unbeliever does not understand because they are not spiritually discerned. So then in Luke 24 it says, "Then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.'" So he's talking to his disciples, and he says, look, you guys know this stuff. You're all Jews. You just know this stuff. Moses and the prophets and all this kind of, but I'm the guy. And they had a hard time with that. And, you know, honestly, I think I would too. You're the guy. Joe's kid. You're the guy. You're a carpenter. You're the guy. Well, you're the Son of God. Now, you can't discern that without the Holy Spirit. And even when Jesus said to Peter, "Who do you think I am?" He said, "You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Man, you're smart." No, he never. He said, "The Spirit of God revealed that to you." So they were just becoming spiritually in tune with what God was doing. And so he said, just in this scripture, he says that all these things that you heard about, all these things that are going to come to pass, I'm the guy that's going to see them fulfilled. And he goes on to say, and he opened their minds. How did he do that, eh? Because they ended up with his mind. They were followers of Christ. So they could understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it stands written that Christ would suffer and would rise from the dead on the third day." I never read the Bible before. I don't think before as a Christian. It wasn't an interesting book to me. It didn't seem to be something I wanted. And most of them were King James, and I didn't even know heads or tails of what that meant. I wasn't very much Shakespearean. But, you know, after I became a Christian, I read the Bible and started coming alive. I don't know how many times I've read the Bible now in the last 40 years of being a Christian, but I'll tell you something, that every time I read it, something new comes. Every time. And so what I do is I do it with the electronics. I have a little Bible study that I do every week or every day. And when something bounces out of the page, like you go, "Was that really there all the time?" Then I just highlight that, push copy, send to myself. So I have this whole list of things that I never saw before in Scripture because God has shown me spiritually how to discern this is alive in my life. It's the rhema. It's the rhema of the Word. It comes alive. Now, we're big into rhema and all that kind of stuff, but don't get big on the rhema. Get big on, hey, this is happening in my life. This is a relationship. God's speaking to me through his word. Does he speak to you through music as well, like worship songs and stuff like that? That's what you're discerning, the Spirit of God ministering to you. So he said he would rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning with Jerusalem. Beginning from Jerusalem, you are witness of these things. And look, I am sending you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with some power from on high. It's amazing now, being in this environment of power, of having the Holy Spirit inside, and then traveling to different parts of the world, and having different parts of the world come and join our church, to see the power of God moving in these areas. This is exciting stuff. He wants you to be clothed from upon high. He wants you to be wrapped in his power. He wants it to come like oozing out of you. He wants you to just live in it, walk in it, breathe in it, sleep in it, everything. He just wants to be the one that that helps you. He wants you to process everything through his brain, through his mind. So all your decisions, we make 35,000 decisions a day. You know that? No wonder we're tired. Right? Like, no wonder we're tired at the end of the day. Maybe that's why we sleep in and kind of shorten it up, maybe only 28,000. We make 35,000 different decisions every day. And some of those cause us lots of stress. Like Canada is about third on the highest stressed nation in the world. Like finances are a huge stressor. Relationships are a huge stressor. Future is a huge stressor. Security is a huge stressor. All these type of things. And we make decisions in relation to that. And we need, and Christ is saying, when you are spiritual, you can discern these things spiritually. And you can reduce the stress and the pressure in your life because you're going through his mind to make those decisions. Husbands and wives, this is so important. You need to be in tune with each other when you make a decision. Elaine and I have been this way for quite a few years now, and I learned that she is really sensitive to the Spirit, and I'm not so much. And so when she says, I don't think we should do this, and then I would say, I think we should. Well, I don't know. I think God's saying to me. And I'm thinking, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? It looks good. You know, after a few things went wrong. Now she says, I don't think we should do that. I say, yeah, okay. I mean, sure, you can keep bashing your head against the wall, but eventually, it hurts less if you don't. And so now, when she says something, and she doesn't do it all the time, but God speaks to her and says, don't do this, and we don't do it. I want to still do it. I don't know why my part isn't connecting in there. Maybe it's because I'm really selfish in the things I want to do. They're not the things God wants us to do. But husbands and wives, you should have peace when you make a decision. When those big decisions, financial, when those big decisions relational, when those big decisions about future, all those kind of things, you should have a peace about that. And if you're single, you should have somebody that you can trust, that you can bounce that off of. Not for them to give you direction, but to confirm the spiritual things that God is speaking to you about. And that person in your life should be able to say, no, I don't think that's right. And you'll hear from them and receive that. But the believer, it says in that scripture, discerns all things. Isn't that cool? Like you discern all things. So you can get God's input on every decision you want. Now don't get up in the morning and say, oh God, what color socks should I wear? I mean, I've met people like that. I even preached a sermon one time called God Doesn't Care What Color Socks You Wear. He just wants you to wear socks so you don't get a cold. We were down at the farmers market, down at the Richmond Market here just on Saturday night or Friday night, and they have socks there. Man, I'll tell you, they're like weird. They're none that match. Like you don't have to worry about losing a sock ever again. Because you just take one from the, there's no pairs. You buy 10 pairs of socks, you get 20 different socks. How can you go wrong? So God doesn't care whether you wear a blue jacket or whether you wear, you should kind of look half decent. You don't want to look peculiar. I mean, we are peculiar people, but don't do it out like crazy. He doesn't care which university you go to. He doesn't care actually where you work. Except that when he guides you to that where you work, it's not just for the job, it's for the people that you're around so that you can impress them with Jesus. Where do you live in your neighborhood? Oh, I got to live in this neighborhood. I got to live in that. You need to ask God, what's our new address? Because he wants you to meet people in that neighborhood that you can minister in the grocery stores and in the gas stations around there. He wants you to have an effect in your neighborhood. All this is byproducts of where he wants you to be so that you can see the spiritual aspect of everything that's happening in your world through his world. So, obviously, there's lots of spiritual things that aren't holy. And so in Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 18, I love this story. Now, Paul was saying, now as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl met us with a spirit that enabled her to foretell the future by supernatural means. We have them. We have all sorts of people that do this. And you know what? They're pretty good because they do have spiritual connections, but they're not Holy Spirit connections. She brought her owners great fortune by fortune telling. I remember that one fortune teller went broke in her company, and I thought, didn't you see that coming? Like, come on, you should have been able to see that. You know what? We're keen on the supernatural. We like to go to hypnotists, or maybe, I hope you don't now, like, but when we were kids, there's Ravine. I think Ravine, I don't know, there he's, like, he's, I've seen him advertised. I don't know how old he must be, like, Ancient of Days. Like he's still at her, or maybe it's Ravine Jr. or something, but when I was a kid, they would come into our town and everybody would go and bark like a chicken, or no, I guess chickens don't bark, but bark like a dog and look like a chicken and all sorts of stupid stuff. And people were going, oh, is that ever funny, if they weren't the one being ridiculed and manipulated. But it was like this spiritual stuff, and it's interesting how many people will read their horoscope. Yeah, that's great. Guess where that's coming from? It's not coming from the Spirit of God. It's coming from another spirit. And people live their life. Oh, well, I get up in the morning. How about fortune cookies? I mean, I love Chinese food. Some people base their life on fortune cookies. Okay. Base your life on this. All right? And then don't go like this. What's today? Hallelujah. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. Oh, I'm going to have a bad day. That's not what it's about. Read this and get it into your heart, get it into your mind, and let God guide and direct you in the Word of God, not fortune cookies, not horoscope, not some other kind of thing. Get what God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you, has for you in your life. And then act on it. So she'd brought him a lot of money. It's good bucks in that. They still have to pay taxes. They haven't figured a way around that. So she followed Paul and us and kept crying out. I guess it was Luke writing this. Then the men of she used to say this. These men are servants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation. She continued to do this for many days. That's a good message, don't you think? You'd want that kind of thing. Maybe it's kind of a high and raspy voice. These are the men of God. I don't know, because it doesn't say that in the original script. Paul let it go for like 2 or 3 days. I don't think he's got a patience. Like, maybe we don't think Paul had patience, but 2 or 3 days. But Paul became greatly annoyed and turned. Like, can you? These men are. And he just turned and said, shut up. He didn't say, shut up, lady. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And it did at once. That's discernment. Nothing wrong with the gal. She was caught up in this for whatever reason. Everybody has a story. These guys were manipulating her because she had this demon in her telling spirits, making good money for her. And for them, obviously, they're probably ripping her off. And Paul just said, that's enough. spirit, you don't have control over life anymore. He discerned that it was a spirit and said, get out. And it came out immediately. Don't you love that? It wasn't a big, well, you know, who's going to yell the loudest? You know, I have a right to be here. No, you don't. You don't have a right to be there. Jesus has a right to be there because he's the creator. So, going on in that scripture, it says something that's really interesting. It says, the believer is understood by no one. Do you ever feel that? You say something spiritual. Even Elaine will say something to me, you know, God told me, and I go, like, really? And what I did is I don't know whether you remember the old telephone operators who used to ring, 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 ho. This is 327, and I would like 659. And it's just a big board with 659 and 327, so she takes the cord out of there and plugs it in there. And then the beauty was, is there was party lines. So if you heard ring, 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 and you wanted to find out what 327 was talking to 659 was, then you just kind of pick up your phone and talk. Or not talk, but just listen. It's called a party line. This is not a party line. This is a you line. This is you and God. And you know when he speaks to you? He speaks to you personally. He speaks to you personally. He may speak to you as husband and wife and in the beginning, or you will work towards that because you'll ask God for confirmation and that spouse may give you that confirmation. But this is a personal thing. You are understood by no one. And sometimes when you say things like, you know, God called me into the ministry, and you go, and people go, really? Like, you're going to give up a good job, or you're going to do this, or God said to me to do this, or God said for me to sell this, or God said me to buy this, and somebody will go, really? They don't understand. But you need to understand that it doesn't matter. Because when God speaks into your heart, when God says something to you, the believer, he's spiritually speaking to you, and you get the privilege to discern that. And then you need to act on it. You can discern a whole bunch of stuff. You can have a pile of discerned things. And if you don't act on them, it doesn't mean anything. But when you discern something and God says, I want you to do this, you're on an adventure. You're excited that things are happening that you can't even imagine. Honestly, because the living God's inside of you saying, this is what I created you for, Jim. This is what I created you for, Val. Whoever, like, this is what I created you for. So you can discern. And at the same time, you can discern when somebody has an evil spirit. Sometimes people just annoy you, don't they? Anybody been annoyed by anyone? A few hands went up. Have we ever annoyed anyone? That's another hand that could go up. But the reality is sometimes we just look at that person, you know what I'd like to do? I would like to do the Nehemiah laying hands on. You know, if you read Nehemiah, he laid hands on them. He just pulled their hair out and smacked their head. That's kind of the laying hands that Nehemiah did. Or the twisting of the nose in Proverbs. The twisting of the nose bringeth forth blood. There's something about that that stirs the old Italian. But, you know, sometimes what we do is we don't discern where this is coming from. And we get angry with the person. And the person is not the problem. We fight against spiritual forces in high places. And so it's not, they may not even know that they're being influenced by that. And it's not a possession thing. It might be just something that's guiding them or directing them or that they open themselves up to. And you need to be able to discern. I remember somebody one time, just I was pastoring in a small community, and this person came up and they just unloaded. Have you ever had that? It's just so much fun. They were just violent. They were just angry, and they just dressed me down and they just tore me to shreds. And I just stood there, and when they're done, I said, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. And it blew them away because they figured that they had me. And, you know, before I was mature to that point, they would have had me and I would have gone home whipped and beaten. But I knew that was the devil. That was the enemy. It wasn't the devil himself, but it was one of his cohorts. It was just somebody to try to destroy me, push me down, depress me, get me so that I didn't believe in myself or believe in my God or anything. And I just said, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus, who's my Lord. And he discerned that this was not from him. And that blew that lady right out of the water. I love that. That's the God we serve. He helps you discern these things. And so don't worry about the party line. Don't worry about who's running who the telephone operator is. In my town, I knew who it was. It's Carol. And she would know, it was the place to be. She would know everything that's going on with everybody. Because when the conversation was going on, she could hear it. And don't think she didn't eavesdrop a bit. Because it's always interesting, right? This is a personal thing. The believer has the mind of Christ. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not or don't rely on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he will make your path straight. Stop trying to figure out. That's what it is. Stop trying to figure it out. Lean not on your own understanding. God does not need your brain, your mind, to figure out your solution. You need his mind, his brain, to figure out your solution. And I'm really helpful to him. Like, I have a lot of knowledge. I have a lot of experience, and I have some great ideas. He doesn't care. He wants to tell me what he wants to do. And I think, well, yeah, but mine's a lot better, really, and we move faster. And he's going, yeah, but you haven't even seen the whole picture, Jim. What I have planned for you is 50 times better than you could ever imagine. So don't lean on your own understanding. But acknowledge him in all your ways, all your ways, all those 35,000 decisions, okay? And I honestly don't, what do you squeeze the toothpaste in the middle? Do you use a gray toothbrush to go with your hair? What time do you have that done? Like, come on, those are common sense things. They're decisions you make. But just give him your whole day. Get up in the morning and say, hey, God, what are we doing today? Because remember, and I said this before, we get up in the middle of his day. You know that? The way we look at our calendar, our day starts at 12 o'clock, and we're, you know, get up maybe at 8 or 6 or noon or whatever, and we're already into his day. He's already started. He doesn't sleep. So let's find out what he's doing. Not going, hey, God, I want to go to the park today. You want to come? You know? So here it is that we make 35,000 decisions a day, and they affect every part of our being. They affect our peace. If you know that he is helping you make the decisions, you have a peace that passes all your understanding. He cares about your safety. So you don't have to worry about that. He cares about your finances, your economics, your relationships, your employment, your health, and so on. And he's made provision for all those things. That's a beauty. So as a believer, our decisions no longer are guided by our wisdom and knowledge or other spiritual forces, but by the living God living within us. And so, in this portion of Scripture, which I forgot, it's in Colossians. I didn't write that down, sorry. It says, so then, just as you received Jesus Christ as your Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. Age of Enlightenment came in, and we've had so many challenges about what God says or what man says. And we have some brilliant thinkers but they got their brain from God to begin with. And they not, many of them, are not using his brain, his mind, to process their philosophies. Because their philosophies and their models of counseling wouldn't stand. Evolution doesn't have a foothold in the scriptures. We do evolve. I mean, we evolve differently. We but not to the extent that we came out of a marsupial swamp and here we are today. That's not biblical. That's not Christ. That's not God. And you need to be able to discern that. Now, there's a lot of wisdom in there, and we can use a lot of that in our science. But that's not how we were created. God created us, Adam and Eve. And he breathed life into some dirt. I can believe that. Because when we're done, we return to that dirt. At least our body does. But our spirit and our soul, we're going to sit around that table when Jesus comes back. Can you imagine? We're going to sit around that table. And they're going to have Marie Callender pie there. Coconut cream, right, Elaine? I don't know whether they're going to or not. C2NO that takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. And we have a lot of philosophy in our world today, which depends on human tradition and elementary spiritual forces, elemental, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you are circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised in Christ. You are dead. Romans chapter 6, you are dead to sin. You are dead to the flesh, but you are alive to Christ. Isn't that great? So the old man is dead, buried, and the new man rises, new woman rises in Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him also through your faith and working of God who raised him from the dead, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the charge of the legal indebtedness, in other words, he paid the bill, he paid the debt, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross through Jesus. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them with the cross. He didn't do it in private. He did it publicly. He destroyed the enemy's power over you, and you have that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead inside of you, and you can discern the things that are happening in this world, all of them, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the critical thing. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the unbeliever does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, but he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That doesn't make you super spiritual. It makes you sensitive to the Spirit within you. The one who is spiritual discerns all things, yet he himself is understood by no one. For who has the mind of the Lord as to advise him? We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Can I have the team come back up, the worship team, please? This is a foundation for spiritual discernment. And discernment takes us somewhere. It's not just a gift that doesn't have any value today. It has huge value. Elaine and I have been involved many times in situations where we've had to spiritually discern what's going on. And we'll share some of those things. So what I want to do right now is I just want you to think about this. Maybe you're visiting or maybe you've been coming for a while and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Pastor Stephen, I want you to come up if you'd bring the microphone as well. And And I want to give an altar call. Maybe, how about if you just give the altar call in English and in Mandarin? Would you do that? Okay. And so I want you to seriously think about this is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Because you want to be spiritually aware. And if you're an unbeliever and you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, then this doesn't work for you. But Pastor Stephen's going to lead you in a prayer that will show you that the living God that we talked about this morning wants to live inside of you and give you this kind of power. Pastor Stephen.
If you haven't made your decision to believe in Christ, so this morning, just Pastor Jim was teaching on to have a discerning spirit. That's from God, from Christ, who lives in you, that he not only died for us, but he lived, resurrected for us. Mm. He gave us life, life abundant. It's beyond our imagination. It's beyond what we can think of. That's who he is. And that's what he will do in our lives. And many of us can do a testimony, open testimony to what Christ has done in our lives, miraculously. And we cannot just think of how he can change our lives. So amazing. And we can testify who he is in our life. This morning, if you have you feel that Holy Spirit is touching your heart and you have never made this decision. One of the most, I should say, the most important decision in your life. And this morning is we can, just like Pastor Jim was talking about, the operator hook the line to each other, to God, through the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you have never think of, maybe you are struggling in your decision, certain decision, maybe in your marriage, or maybe at school, or maybe you are in the turning point of asking God for something, but you never get the answer from him. But I encourage you to know Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And you will find out that you start discerning things that you never think of before. Mm-hmm. But we got to start. It's new beginning. If Christ is in you, all things are past and everything become new. Amen. And this is your chance and this is our chance to know him in a personal way. So why don't we close our eyes? And I'm going to just quickly ask you, if you have never done this before and never made your decision to believe in Christ and to ask God to live inside of you and to know that the power that changed Christ and have Christ resurrected will live inside of you. He will change you, and he will start speaking to you, and you will live never before the miraculous life. If you feel that Holy Spirit touching your heart, and you want to believe in Christ this morning, and why don't you quickly just raise your hands, and we can pray together. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And anybody else? You want to make your important decision to believe in Christ. Have Holy Spirit living inside of you. Anybody else this morning? And 如果今天早晨你觉得圣灵向你说话, 耶稣基督今天早晨要成为你的主, 成为你的救主, 要来帮助你, 一生活在他的里面, 要被他来改变你的生命。如果您有这样子的感动，请您这个时候您可以举手， 我们可以为你一起祷告, 有没有? All right, let's pray together. Mm. Why don't we, can we just pray after me, please? Jesus, thank you for changing us.
Thank you for changing us.
You love us.
You love us.
And not only die for us.
Died for us.
You give us life.
You gave us life.
You forgive us.
You forgive us.
Thank you. You have mercy on us.
Thank you. You have mercy on us.
We give you praise.
We give you praise.
And just through this morning, through this morning's message, we know that you love us so much. You want to give us abundant life.
Thank you.
Continuously, you want to bless us.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're coming back.
Hallelujah.
To receive us, to be with you forever. Thank you. Want to glorify your name. And everybody say, we love you, Lord.
We love you, Lord.
Because you loved us first.
You loved us first.
We'll give you praise.
Give you praise.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Stephen.